It is Evan and Tiki, Sean Tiki, Tommy Paulie with us across the way. Evan is in, hold on, I'm going to get it right, Venice.
Venice, that's correct.
We've received a lot of text messages and flares from Venice where Evan was on a boat, so we'll talk about Evan's trip more as he is now on the seventh straight show he's missed. I think we are nearing the point where Evan has never missed this many consecutive shows for a vacation, but he's having a good time. He will be back Monday. Towards the end of the show yesterday, though, Tiki, we did get the news that Garrett Wilson had agreed to a contract extension with the Jets. Now, that seemed pretty baseline, simple, fifth highest AAV, a guy who's accomplished a lot without a lot of good quarterback play here, and seemed like a no-brainer move.
Absolutely.
But in the course of talking about that in playing the What's Next game, we stumbled on a bit of a lightning rod that I want to expand upon further to start this show, and that would be one Sauce Gardner. The first pick for the Jets in that now famed three first-round picks that have seemingly worked out draft class for the Jets. And I was stunned on my drive home last night as I tried to avoid raindrops and beat the rain home. How many callers we had yesterday were so anti-Sauce Gardner?
It's not even, I don't think, anti-Sauce. I think it's anti-Jet, and he's the poster child for what went wrong with the Jets last year. Now, obviously, it was offensively driven because of Aaron Rodgers. The real reason that things went wrong is because their offense was just completely out of whack. They fired their head coach, demoted their offensive coordinator, had almost no identity at all. And you think about that Jet team from a year ago. What the hell were they all about? It was supposed to be defense, but they weren't really that good at defense. They didn't have a great pass rush. And so when you start to falter, all it takes is a little bit of a drop-off. And Sauce maybe had a little drop-off last year for you to become the villain. And so Sauce became the whipping boy simply because everybody and everything about the Jets was just off last year.
And I'm here to scream from the mountaintops as the guy who was not the Jet fan on the show. You're wrong if you're directing your anger towards Sauce Gardner. Did he have a great year last year? Did it feel like he got, well, dare I say, lazy at times, the tackling and all that stuff went into it? Sure, there's no doubt about it. But Sauce Gardner screams the kind of talent at the kind of position that you do not want to let go.
Right.
And I'm here now today, Tiki. Rookies for the New York Giants are reporting to training camp today. It's July 15th. It feels like training camp starts earlier and earlier every day. Next week, Jets and Giants veterans will report to camp. And Sauce Gardner, in all likelihood, is probably going to report to camp without a new contract extension, playing this out and heading towards the fifth-year option, all of that stuff. I think when looking at the roster of the New York Jets, and we'll talk about the Giants in a second, when you want to get pumped up about the season and determine where they're going to go this year, and will this be a better year than maybe expectations, a year that you didn't have the last 2 years, I think of all the New York Jets, Sauce Gardner is the most important to their success this year. Now, listen, they got Will McDonald, they got Jermaine Johnson coming back. They are going to still have enough in terms of pass rush, right?
Well, they didn't have it last year. That was the problem.
They didn't, but I think we're getting Johnson back. I do believe that there will be a sense of pass rush ability there. Offensively, we all know that offensive line's got to stay healthy. I think they made the very smart and prudent choice in drafting Membu to go here with Olu Fashanu. I think those guys are obviously important. Fashanu can't get hurt for this team to have success, especially if they're going to be ground and pound. We talked about Breece Hall, and I know a lot of Jet fans wanted to call about that. What's next for him? Well, guess what? You still have the depth with Braylon Allen. I think Jet fans are underappreciating what DJ Reed brought to this team the last couple years, and he is no longer here, and signing a guy like Brandon Stevens, and yes, Michael Carter's still a very good nickel corner. That depth now has taken a hit. And if Sauce Gardner is a guy that does not take a leap and earn that contract this year, this Jet defense is going to get picked apart. Talent be damned. We're about Quinton Williams, whatever. At cornerback specifically, you need Sauce Gardner to be Sauce Gardner.
Right.
So for every Jet fan that called and yelled, you can't pay him, you can't do this, you can't do that, do you really want a disgruntled, angry, head in the cloud Sauce Gardner at any point this year? Now, he has to be a professional and put that aside and play. I think this Jet team goes nowhere without Sauce Gardner.
Well, here's the thing for Jet fans that dislike the idea of Sauce Gardner getting paid. It's not going to happen. Right. They're not going to pay him before this season is done. At least I don't think they are. And if they do, I mean, that means that they are really locking in two guys now for the long haul. And I don't think it's worth it. They don't need to do it with Sauce Gardner. Now, Sauce Gardner is going to make not a lot of money next year, $1 million. The following year, he's making the franchise tag number. Now, when you start to see these cornerback deals, if it's very low at $20 million, but it's still $20 million.
Yeah.
And so I think Sauce Gardner is in the prove it stage of his career. Not necessarily do we know who he is, right? We know he's a good corner. We know he's an all pro two times over and a Pro Bowler. He's earned that $20 million 2 years from now. But at the same time, if you want to be great, there has to be a moment when you just take that next step above the plateau that you're on. And Sauce has to do that this year. But as far as the most important player, I will always, always go back, especially on defense, to pass rush. It's got to be getting to the quarterback because that's the only thing that makes it easier for cornerbacks. It's the only thing that makes it easier for linebackers. It's the only thing that gives you, as a defensive coordinator, so much freedom to do whatever you want. Look at the Eagles last year. Why were they so dominant in the Super Bowl? Because they got home with four, yeah. Right? Their pass rush was elite. And so, to me, this is more about Will McDonald, who you just talked about earlier. That's also on Quinnen Williams, have a rebound season. And then Jermaine Johnson, who also, like Sauce, is trying to get paid. And
yes.
So we know that only one of those guys is paid right now, but all those guys, they want to get paid. And everybody really on this defense has to earn it after the debacle that felt like last season.
Yeah, we could talk about talent, talent, talent. And that has been a huge talking point about the Jets the last couple of years. It's why all the pom-poms were out when they got Aaron Rodgers. We kept talking about how much talent they had. At some point, when you have that much talent, you better turn it into playoff appearances. And the Jets just simply haven't been able to do it. And a lot of that had to do with the quarterback, right? Zach Wilson, Rodgers gets hurt.
Most of it did.
That has now been washed. That's been extinguished. I'm not saying Justin Fields is the end-all, be-all, but you could do a lot worse for a stopgap bridge quarterback for a team that is still supposed to be based on defense
right here.
I expect the Jets to compete this year. What that end win total ends up being, I don't know. I haven't settled on a number yet, but I don't think this is a Jet team that should be picking in the top four of the draft at the end of the year. They should be competing and should live anywhere in that NFL world where that 7-9 win total lives. And if you're going to get there and you're going to be a sneaky surprise team, as the Jets have seen in the past with some of these first-year head coaches, going back to Eric Mangold and whatnot,
right?
And have kind of a winning year, I still think it comes down to Sauce. You're right. Pass rush is more important. I'm always going to value pass rush more than I'm going to value the guys in the secondary, but at least I know I have different guys I can count on individual games. You know, if Jermaine Johnson got hurt like he did last year, guess what? Will McDonald still went on and on and on. The Jets have allowed their cornerback depth by letting DJ Reed walk go to the point where I can't trust them if Sauce Gardner is not one of the top five corners in football. And you know what? You look at some of these other teams. Why do we think the Denver Broncos are going to be really good this year? You keep talking about Patrick Surtain is the whole key to that defense being great. Obviously, J.C. Horn got paid in Carolina. Stingley got paid in Houston. So you're talking about an average annual value with Sauce Gardner when he does get paid of getting over 30. He's not going to get that without being great this year, and the Jets need him to be great. I don't think the Jets can live in a world long-term here without Sauce Gardner. I think they are just going to create more holes for them, and I think any success this year, ultimately for that defense, is going to be the fact that they have a corner taking away half the field.
Well, and it's funny you say that about the Denver Broncos, because part of the reason that they're good is not only do they have Pat Surtain the second, but they also have this kid, Riley Moss, who we all remember, the great white hope at cornerback, who was just a stud and dominant. And so when you have one, you need two. If you have none, you better at least have one. The Jets, I like Brandon Stevens. He had a down year a year ago in Baltimore, and I'm not sure what he's going to look like, but you have to have balance. Otherwise, one side gets picked on, the other side has nothing come his way, like we saw with Sauce Gardner a year ago.
So, look, it's easy to say quarterback because it's the most important position in football. If we eliminate the quarterback position in New York football, who, when trying to get your beak wet and get ready here for training camp, who is the most important player to these two football teams for them to have surprising successful seasons? For the Jets, I lean Sauce Gardner. Tiki goes more with the guys in the pass rush.
Right.
And that will determine where they got to go. Tiki, we have a couple calls on the Jets, but let's just quickly include the Giants in this conversation. I wanted to bring this up last week. We never got to it. Had a lot of baseball come our way. There was a report last week that Andrew Thomas...
You answered the question already.
Yep. Well, this is it. There was a report that he may not be ready for week one. He had talked about it. Then he goes out and he throws out a first pitch at a Yankee game. Andrew Thomas better be ready for week one. Not that I want to rush him or anything. This team cannot function without him. And they have added so many pieces to that defense.
It's the only thing still left to do.
It's the answer. It's Andrew Thomas.
Well, it's Andrew Thomas, but it's Andrew Thomas who is typifying the other four guys there. they need to have their offensive line have somewhat of a sense of continuity and consistency and togetherness. Because if they don't, I don't care how good Sexy Dexie is coming back from injury is. I don't care how good their third round pick Darius Alexander, who's supposed to be a stud, is good. I don't care how good Abdel Carter is. I don't care how good Javon Holland is, or what was it? Paulson Adebo. They just signed in free. I don't care how good Malik Nate. I don't care how good anybody is. If the offensive line is a shell of Swiss cheese. Then there is
a shell of Swiss cheese.
Then they're never, ever, because it's supposed to be a shell, like protecting everybody.
Yeah, I got it.
But if it's a shell and it's all Swiss cheese, they are never, ever going to achieve anything. They have to find a way to have this team healthy, consistent, and have some continuity together. And if they do, even though their schedule's hard, I'll have some faith in what I'm about to see. But if that offensive line is a disaster that it's been over the last couple of years, most of it's because of injuries and health. But if it's anything but just solid and consistent, I can't see this team winning. So
I agree.
You nailed it, man. It's Andrew Thomas at left tackle, but it's really all five of those guys.
No doubt. And if you are a Giant or Jet fan thinking about offensive line, one of the guys who was out there as a free agent this year got tagged. That would have been the big premier free agent next year to spend money on, with maybe rookie quarterback contracts. Trey Smith of the Chiefs.
Right.
Right before we came on the show, agreed to a 4-year deal. He's not going anywhere.
What was the deal? Do we know?
I got to see the numbers pop up.
4 years? $90 million?
70 guaranteed.
Yeah, 94 million, 70 million guaranteed.
Oh, wow. For a guard. So that dream is out. If Andrew Thomas is not healthy again for this Giant team. Now, obviously, Trey Smith's not a left tackle, but the point is to have a premier offensive lineman on this team. The Giants are in a world of trouble. So we could talk about the defense all we want and all. As we get it ready for training camp, rookies report today. Andrew Thomas for the Giants for me, and it's Sauce Gardner for the Jets. Tiki goes pass rush for the Jets. Outside of quarterback, 888-808-1019. Who is the most important player to this Jets team, and do you want Sauce Gardner paid, understanding how valuable he is to this defense, where a cornerback room suddenly looks as thin as it has been in years? It's Evan and Tiki with Sean and Tiki here on this All-Star game. Don't worry, baseball fans, we're going to get into the All-Star game. Sal's ridiculous take I want to comment on earlier about Soto. I cannot believe he said what he said. We'll play that back later. And our thoughts on the home run derby from last night. The red carpet has gone off at the All-Star game, which is, you know, whatever, cool. Imagine getting 6 hours before the game.
What do you mean the red carpet? They're doing a red carpet? This is just arrivals, though.
Yeah, they do arrivals. This has been a thing the last few years.
I don't mind that.
6 hours before the game?
Well, I mean, they probably used to get to games 5 or 6 hours before anyways, right? So it's just a normal arrival.
I would guess. It's cool. They have, you know, a bunch of the family showing up. I see SNY's tweeting out videos. Lindor.
Right.
Mr. and Mrs. Met dressed in like these sharp blue suits. Really, they look good. They look fancy. Everything's a song and dance, though. We even got the red carpet at the MLB All-Star Game. 888-808-1019. Started the show on who the most important players are that aren't quarterbacks as we begin training camps here for the Jets and Giants on this All-Star week. Eric in Rivervale. Eric, what's up?
Sean, Tiki, what's happening, guys?
All good.
What's up, Eric?
You guys miss Evan yet or what?
Do we miss
him? That's a loaded question.
It's very hard to miss him when you talk to him every day.
Right, if.
Yeah, fair point. He never steps away. I get that. So I haven't decided yet if I love the fact that we're talking about football in the middle of July or not.
I mean, training camp is next week, Eric. It's next week.
I know. It blows my mind, man. It really does. It makes me feel like summer's over, though, which is really
sad. That's a good point.
You know what? Real quick, Eric, make a point. Summer's not over. People have to understand this. You can include football as part of your summer. September is still summer.
Right, and it's low, like, pressure. Because you barely got to pay attention.
Exactly. It helps you ease into the cold
weather. That's fair. And real quick, did you guys, when I was on hold, did you say that Trey Smith just got $90 million in 4 years?
Yes.
Yes.
70 guaranteed.
Good Lord.
And he's a guard.
I mean.
This is a guard.
That's got to be the highest paid guard, correct? I assume.
I mean, it's got to be, but it's the new money in the league. We know this. Like, the salary cap went up. It was higher than everybody thought it was going to be. And so if you got to hang on to somebody, then guess what? He's going to get overpaid.
He would have gotten it somewhere else, so I totally understand. Right. And I think, you know, with the Jets, to hear some of these callers yesterday talking about Sauce as if he's disposable is insane to me, because he is absolutely one of the biggest, if not the biggest factor on the defensive side of the football. And I love the fact that you got Glenn coming in. You have to imagine he's going to learn something there.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
me,
that's a former number one corner of the Jets himself.
Correct. So I just feel like he is a huge piece of it. I love what they did with Garrett yesterday. It seems like the Jets, you know, this is where it seems like often with the Jets, they may have it right. But now it's got to come to fruition. And to me, like, if it means that you lose Breece, I understand the implication. There's certainly going to be a possibility that that happens. But the depth chart at running back is really, really good. So I'm not, you know, when you've got Allen and then you got Ngannou or whatever his name is, I forget his name. But, you know, we've got a depth chart there at running back. So losing Breece would be a bummer. Yeah. But, you know, Sauce to me is far more important to this defense. And then I also think Jermaine Johnson coming back off an injury, he's going to be a huge, huge addition to this defense that was miserable last year.
He should be. Thanks for the call, Eric. But caution yourself with Jermaine Johnson. That is not easy to come off an Achilles, right. Go out there and just be great. The odds tell you he'll be much better the second year removed from it. But if Will McDonald is the first-round pick that was promised, then there's a little less pressure on how much Jermaine Johnson has to step up and be the top guy. As far as the guards go, yes, Trey Smith in the guarantees got $70 million guaranteed. He is the highest-paid guard.
And wasn't he already the highest-paid or one of?
He was based on the fact that he got that high franchise tag for a single year.
Right.
So the other big guards, remember we saw this in Hard Knocks last year where the Giants were in on Robert Hunt, mm-hmm. who I think he left the Dolphins or he signed with the Dolphins. I forget what Robert Hunt's playing. I got to be completely honest with you. But he got $63 million, and Chris Lindstrom is making $62.7 million. So you saw a $7 million jump in guaranteed money. Guards are making money.
Well, that's what happens when the cap goes up, man.
Robert Hunt went to the Panthers, you said? Is that right, Tommy?
Yeah.
Okay, so Robert Hunt's a Panthers. Yeah, you're right. Now, guards. We can't even fathom in this town drafting a guard good enough to get a second contract, right. Let alone paying one. $60 or $70 million. It's insane. Tommy, we went around the room earlier without you and gave our most important players besides the quarterbacks on both sides of the ball. Where does a Tommy Lugauer stand for the Jets and Giants?
Yeah, I appreciate that. Normally, Evan just speaks for me and just assumes what I would say. For the Giants, it's always Andrew Thomas. It is. But to be a contrarian, I'm going to go with Dexter Lawrence because I believe this pass rush should be top five in the league, and Sexy is the anchor of that pass rush. So it is Andrew Thomas, but just to give a little bit of a different answer, I'm going to say Dexter Lawrence. And for the Jets, boy, I think it's Fields. I do, because he has an opportunity.
Tiki, does he listen?
Yeah, other than quarterback.
Other than quarterback.
He missed that part.
Why does it have to be other than quarterback?
Because the most important player on every team is the quarterback.
I know that, but
it's different with the Jets. Because it is kind of important with Justin Fields. We don't know what Justin Fields is. So I'll give him somewhat of a pass. I think he missed the caveat.
He did. I would have picked Justin Fields over Sauce Gardner, too.
I don't like your caveat, quite frankly. I'm going to make my own caveat.
Moogie!
Well, because I can understand why you wouldn't say Russell Wilson and Dart's a rookie. With Fields, the lottery ticket, we don't know if he can blossom into somebody, and then the Jets would move on.
Even if I was saying, even if quarterbacks were included with the Giants, I wouldn't say Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I wouldn't either because you're going to pass it over. But I would say Justin Fields over Sauce Gardner because, yeah, no kidding, that offense could be completely different.
I don't know. I mean, it depends on what they really want to do because look, we only can go by what they're saying that they're going to do or haven't even really said it. We're just kind of intimating what they're going to do.
They'll ground and pound.
That they're going to ground and pound, that they're going to be run heavy, that they're going to have a lot of QB run stuff, whether that's, you know, QB sweeps or options or zone reads or all the stuff that's out there that Justin Fields truly accelerated in two seasons ago when he was in Chicago. It was last year in Chicago. Actually, it may have been three seasons ago when he rushed for 1,000 yards. But, like, we don't know.
Right.
They could be developing him into a passer or looking to, I don't know, utilize the skill sets of Garrett Wilson in different ways. And so we don't know, but we think that Justin Fields is going to be heavily involved in this run game, which is then going to benefit both of their running backs.
No doubt. And if they get really good tackle play from Fashanu and Membu, I'm going to take it forever to figure out how to. I got to say it slowly. Membu, they will be ultimately fine bookend tackle to run that kind of offense. All right, Tommy, I'll let you finish your point on why it's Fields other than the obvious.
All right, you want me to give a different answer then,
no,
Mr. Snarky?
No.
I just think Fields is in such a unique position, and I'm sure he knows this, where yeah, we're committing to you, but not really. You're Mr. Right now, maybe not Mr. Right, and he has an opportunity to become Mr. Right if he performs at a level and takes his game to the next step. Some of the things we saw in Chicago. So I think he's their most important player. Like, if I'm a Jet fan, I want to see if Fields can be the franchise quarterback. I know our offensive line should be good with Fashanu
and Memu and the defense, especially if Sauce Gardner gets back to where he was a couple years ago. The defense was, what, a top 10 defense about 2 years ago? I know Robert Saleh obviously gone, but still, you expect them to be a good unit. Fields, to me, is the most interesting and intriguing Jet this season.
Interesting and intriguing Jet this season.
It's true, because I don't know what to expect.
I guess
I could sit here and just tell you what I think is going to happen, but I honestly have no idea.
Well, on Justin Fields, knowing that he may not be the long-term answer anyway, and I'm curious, 888-808-1019, as you enter training camp here, Jets fans, is your assumption that Justin Fields is the long-term quarterback? Because my assumption is they're drafting one next year.
It's interesting, because when I listen to Evan talk about it, as the Jet fan of our group,
yeah,
that's how he talks, that Justin Fields is going to be their future, that he's going to figure something out with this brand-new staff and all of a sudden turn into, I don't know, the guy who was drafted 4 years ago. But I think at this point you are who you are.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
And I don't know, now being on his third team in 5 years, if he's just going to get it, figure it out. Now, he might, but I can't see it. There's no test case for that.
The other part that scares me, and work with me, Jets fans, okay, because I'm speaking this from a Giant fan existence. Do you want Justin Fields having a good enough year where you win 9-10 games and you think he's the answer and you go, we know he's not going to get top dollar, but we're going to commit to him? Because that's what happened to us in our first year in Brian Daboll with Daniel Jones. And it scares me a little bit when you take a flyer now on a quarterback with a new coach for a year. Because if he shows you enough.
Well, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, if shows you enough, that might be the best he ever is. And then you pigeonhole yourself into the next couple of years.
But I think, unlike Daniel Jones, there is no history. There's no, like, we drafted him. We owe him the chance.
Right.
This is a, regardless of what happens with Justin Fields, whether he's miserable, then you just don't even feel bad getting rid of him, or he's really good, you're not committed. Like, there's no institutional, like, I don't know, need to.
But what
Whereas
kind of,
with Daniel Jones, there was an institutional need to.
Right. You felt like, okay, he proved it.
Yeah,
once
we owed it. We told him to prove it. He proved it. We drafted him. We got to give him a deal. I don't think that's the case with Justin Fields.
All right. So with no ties to this front office and this organization then, what kind of year would it take for Justin Fields this year for the Jets where you would feel comfortable going, all right, I'm going to lock him up for the next 2-3 years?
It's got to be.
Forget a 5-6 year deal.
Right. It won't be. I don't think.
Right. Of course. That's why I'm going.
I don't think that makes any sense at all. I think it's Pro Bowl type season. Now, he might not make the Pro Bowl.
Right.
But if we're debating whether or not Justin Fields is making the Pro Bowl, then he has a chance to sign a longer term deal.
I would think.
Otherwise, next.
I would think playoffs too, right?
Quarterback
takes you to the playoffs?
Yeah, I guess so, but that's just, I mean.
Because is Justin Fields going to be a Pro Bowl-type quarterback and the team wins 7 games?
Could be.
With the talent they have on defense, so that's why.
It could be.
You think?
I mean, they're probably synonymous. You're probably right, but you never know.
That's the gamble, man. That's why it sounds great in theory to have Justin Fields playing on this one-year deal.
Yeah.
But we know, to Tiki's point, basically what Justin Fields has been his whole career. And then you're banking on giving him a contract based on whether what you just saw is what he's about to become,
right,
or that was the outlier year. And that would scare the death out of me. Remember, Aaron Glenn, being behind the scenes with the Lions, has seen this work out in the positive way with Jared Goff.
Right.
Because Goff comes in as a year. And
but I think Jared Goff had much more success.
Of course, he made a Super Bowl.
Exactly. And he just felt like he understood what it took to be a starting quarterback in the league. Justin Fields obviously was a starting quarterback in the league, but it was almost, I don't know, in spite of the success that he was having, people still didn't believe in him.
Right.
And that was the team that drafted him in Chicago.
Which is scary.
Now, part of that was the coach. And so maybe with Aaron Glenn, there's just feels more stability with the coach. I feel like his entire tenure in Chicago, you're waiting for the coach to get fired.
But you had a really good head coach that just had him with a winning record in Pittsburgh sit him down the moment Russell Wilson was healthy, when they owed nothing to Russell Wilson.
Good point.
Why? And Mike Tomlin's a good football brain. Why?
Good point.
888-808-1019. I like it. I made a football point. Tiki said good point. So we're going to move on to the calls. Joe Astoria.
I'm a fat moron.
Joe, what's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up?
What's going on?
Just two things. As far as, I'm a Giants fan, but as far as the Jets go and Justin Fields, I'd say there is some hope, because I feel like we've seen a couple reclamation projects the past few years, like Geno and Sam Darnold, obviously. So I give him some hope there. But for the Giants, I would say Tommy said Dexter Lawrence is the most important player on that defense. I would say it's Abdul Carter. because we already know, you know, we already know how good Dexter Lawrence is, obviously. Abdul-Carter is supposed to be that kind of jump for them to really push them into a top-tier unit. No, just let me know what you guys think about that.
Joe, I appreciate the call. Here's the thing with Abdul-Carter is I expect great things from Abdul-Carter, but I'm also willing to give him a year to not be the best player on the field. I think he's going to shine and have big flashes.
Yes.
But I can't call him the most important player on the team that's besides a quarterback right now when he's one of three edge rushers on the team with Dexter Lawrence in between.
He's not going to be an every down player.
If that unit as a whole is not very good, the Giants are not going to be good because that's going to be their calling card. That's going to be their identity. But as a singular player, I mean, the Giants pass rush and defense should still be pretty good enough without Abdul-Carter shining. Now, he could elevate him and he could be the defensive rookie of the year, and I think we all hope for that. But I'm not there yet to say he's the most important player to the team.
Yeah, I mean, I want to see him have a great rookie season. I want to see him double-digit sack. All the things that we talk about we want to see from rookies when they're in primary positions like edge rushers and they're drafted as high as he was. But you don't know.
Right.
Because he's blocked.
He is.
Right? Uh-oh.
Now, we do have breaking news, and I believe this is the real Sauce Gardner. It's not Gravy Gardner.
Okay.
This is from his Twitter account.
All right.
Sauce Gardner from a minute ago.
Whoa.
The deal is done.
Wow.
This only the beginning. And then he thanks a couple people. I appreciate the Jets organization for believing in me, my teammates, for the blood, sweat, and tears we put in, and Jets Nation. Jets Nation in both. I appreciate y'all supporting me. Thank you, God.
Let's
this is from
it.
Sauce.
Let's find it, though.
Let's find the deal.
Because we never see guys break their own deals.
This is literally a minute.
This would be shocking to me.
It's his Sauce Gardner's tweet.
Rappaport's got the details here.
All right, let's hear it.
The Jets and Sauce Gardner have agreed to terms on a massive new extension, making him the highest paid cornerback in NFL history.
What's the AAV? We got it?
4 years, $120 million deal, $30.1 million per year.
So he got the point one over Stingley. He got point one over Stingley per year. Incredible.
Wow.
So there you go.
Wow. That's shocking to me.
A half an hour into the show on Sauce Gardner being, I told you he's the most important player on this team, the most important player on this defense, and you wanted a happy Sauce Gardner to make the world go round. Muji has come in back-to-back days before training camp and took care of the star of the offense, the star of the defense, and now 3 years into their careers, he wasn't the guy that drafted him, has eliminated any distraction between the two. That is good business by the GM, and now we can stop with the nonsense calls at 888-808-1019 like we had yesterday. Sauce Gardner's a bum. You can't pay Sauce Gardner.
He's not a bum.
He's not.
I'm surprised they paid him, though.
You were the one saying don't expect a deal done this year. I thought this would be the case after they paid Garrett Wilson. And remember,
why? Just to restart it?
Restart it, make everybody feel good. You don't want to pay what? Think about it. Those guys have been basically competing against each other on and off the field for a long time.
Right.
Sauce Gardner, did you want to go into the year where you could argue he's proven more than Garrett Wilson in terms of at his position?
Without a doubt. Accolade-wise.
Accolade-wise. Because you're talking about one of the top three corners in football. Garrett Wilson's not one of the top three wide receivers in football.
He's top 10, top five.
But you know what I mean? Like,
where is he? He's probably top 10.
All right, you could make the argument Sauce Gardner's the best corner in football, although last year was a down year. You'd get crushed if you say Garrett Wilson's the best wide receiver.
I'd say he's absolutely top five cornerback in the NFL, Sauce Gardner.
So now you have it. And I think this is really good business by this regime. It's sending an early message to that locker room. We take care of our own if it's deserving.
I mean, it's that, but it's also we are establishing a base here of solid elite players. Sauce is an elite player. We know this. He's proven it with his all pros. He's proven it with his play on the field. Last year was a down year, but let's throw it out because everything about the Jets was down last year, including the front office decisions. Garrett Wilson, also one of the elite players at his position.
Right.
And so if you are Aaron Glenn and this Jet regime, you are saying we are basing ourselves with two elite players on either side of the ball that we can now build around. And you're right. It's smart.
Smart.
I'm surprised it got done, both of those guys, because it's really hard to give big deals to two guys in one offseason. But congratulations to both of them, because now they have to go earn what they just got paid.
Zero distractions heading into camp. So just to reset the breaking news.
Except for Jermaine Johnson, by the way.
Yes, but Jermaine Johnson coming off the injury.
It's unfortunate
for him. And also, look, I love Jermaine Johnson. We had him out of camp last year. Great kid, great ability.
Right.
He has not had the same success early on the way Wilson and Sauce Gardner have. So the Jets on the second day in a row here,
By the way, thank you, Jets, on this All-Star Week for giving us this content. The Jets and all-pro cornerback Sauce Gardner have agreed on a massive new extension. This from Ian Rappaport. Although Sauce Gardner himself broke it first, he is the highest-paid cornerback in NFL history. 4 years, $120.4 million, $30.1 million. Now, again, to reiterate, the highest-paid corner in football was Derek Stingley, getting $30 million per year. So this is just simple dotting the I's and crossing the T's. This is Sauce Gardner's way of saying, I'm the highest-paid corner in football by right. 0.1 mil per year.
Not that it matters at all.
It's just funny.
It's just funny.
It is. It's
now,
incredible.
People will argue Derek Stingley's a better player because he had, what, 5 interceptions a year ago. He's got double digits on his career. Sauce has 3 in his career, correct?
I think
3 in his career, but it's bigger than that. It's more scheme and everything else. But Sauce Gardner, deservedly so, has the biggest contract in NFL history for a cornerback. And I mean, look, I'm impressed with the Jets for getting it done because it's hard. That's really hard, yeah. And they got it done, and it seemed easy.
Yeah, and credit, again, I can't believe Sauce Gardner broke it himself. Good job, Tommy, all over the Sauce Gardner.
I mean, that's actually the most impressive thing, to be honest with you.
It's insanity. All right, so Jet fans, let's go. 888-808-1019. Your reaction. There were several of you that called yesterday screaming at me and Tiki that the Jets should not pay Sauce Gardner after paying Garrett Wilson. You didn't show enough. Oh, you got to teach him how to tackle, this, that, and the other. That's now out the window. It's a 4-year deal. He is here to stay. I think this is great business by Darren Mougi, 888-808-1019. Matt in Hackensack. Matt, what's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up?
I'm officially not a Jets fan anymore, and I'm not joking around. This is I can't believe the guy can't tackle and he can't cover. Okay, I watched the games. There was somebody from New England last year. I didn't know his name. I think he came up from the practice
Butte?
Squad and he burned him late in the game.
Yeah,
that was Butte. Matt, he had a rough year. What about the first 2 years of Sauce Gardner? He couldn't cover anybody?
No, you know what happened? He's all right, so I'm 6'4". I'm not really athletic, obviously. I'm just an average Joe, right? He's about my height. And he just, like, always bails and plays, like, a follow technique or something. And right. He never gets his head around. And the quarterbacks started to figure him out. Because they throw his way. He doesn't get his head around. And then when the game's on the line, he never comes up big. Plus, he can't tackle. He's a poor man's Antonio Cromartie. And Antonio Cromartie got picked on when Revis was there. But Antonio Cromartie actually made plays, okay, in playoff games.
But Matt,
okay, so what
Matt,
are we talking about here? You make him the highest paid corner in the league?
Matt,
this is a joke.
Matt, he made plays, Antonio Cromartie, because he got targeted. Half of why you're paying Sauce Gardner, if he's that good, is he is going to get targeted less. And
right.
Look at that other side of that cornerback room. You want to be able to take away half the field. And for all the talk about the tackling and everything else, your new head coach, who a lot of us are inspired by, Tiki, talks a good game.
Right.
Part of the allure of hiring him was he was a number one cornerback on the freaking New York Jets, as he liked to point it. He knows that position. He knows what comes with it in this town. He didn't even have half the ability that Sauce Gardner has.
Right.
You have Darrell Revis still hanging around. I understand that's who Sauce Gardner is always going to be compared to. How about a little faith in the coaching? If any head coach, think about how many times we talk about head coaches getting hired to work on the quarterback position.
Right.
That's why we wanted Brian Daboll sticking around. If any head coach is going to fix whatever flaws were found in Sauce Gardner's game last year, wouldn't it be the guy who's already done it in this town?
Yeah, it would be. Now, look, I'm just watching film on him as we're talking about him now, Sauce Gardner. Like, he played a lot. He's right. He plays a lot of bail, and a lot of it is recovery. But especially towards the end of the season, it just feels like there was no energy.
Right.
Right? It was just kind of lackadaisical. But if you go watch at the beginning of the season, it's a different story. Right? And I know that Sauce gets a lot of criticism because he doesn't make a ton of plays. You know how many times he got targeted last year? 53.
That's it.
53 in 17 games. It's just 3 a game.
6 of them by Butte in that Patriot game that he brought up.
No,
which was a bad moment.
I mean, it was. So you have bad games sometimes. So 53 targets. That was it.
Yeah. And sometimes, too, you bank on or you pay a guy on what you think they're about to become. Actually, that really isn't sometimes. That's what you really should
really,
be doing
that's
in the NFL.
The only way you pay a guy.
Yeah.
Because you think there's more to his game.
Exactly. And I got to think that Aaron Glenn and Darren Mougi, look, if they don't need to see a year of Sauce Gardner doing this, they've seen enough and know what they think they can get out of him. And we have to remind ourselves of that. It's bad business to pay a guy based on what he's already done.
And by the way, forget the money. And forget the money. The money doesn't matter. The money, he's the highest paid cornerback in NFL history because he was the next one to get paid.
Exactly.
That's really all that's about.
And be thankful that it was by 0.1 per year.
What's the full breakdown of the deal? Do we have it yet? What's the guaranteed number?
I don't have the guaranteed number in front of me.
But it's a four-year deal. It's not like it's a six-year deal. It's a four-year deal.
4 years, and the total amount is 120.4, 30.1. I do not see the guarantees in front of me, but we will keep updating that.
Right, because that matters, obviously.
Yeah, and Sauce Gardner himself, again.
I got it. It's $60 million guaranteed.
So it's a two-year deal. So what are we talking about?
That's it. Yeah, you're right.
Right. So calm down. It is what it is. If he craps the bed, they'll move off of him in 2 years. So I know people get up like crazy about these things, but only look at the guaranteed money. The big number doesn't matter. The guaranteed money is the only thing that matters. And so when you look at it, if his AAV is 30 a year and the guarantee is 60, it's a two-year deal. This was no different than what we talked about. I told you in real time about the Daniel Jones deal.
Sure.
It is a two-year deal. Look at the guaranteed money. And in 2 years, what happened? That's Giants moved off of him. The same thing could happen with Sauce if he's not nearly as advertised. So I'm telling you, Jet fans, calm down. Don't hand in your fan cards. Don't get all pissy and pissed off. Just hope and assume that Aaron Glenn is going to get Sauce Gardner playing the way that he played his first 2 years when he was all pro.
That's interesting. $60 million guarantee. Good. That's a good read by Tiki. It is, in theory, only a two-year deal. And
this is why Jets fans get a bad rap, because this is what Jets fans have wanted. Every single offseason, we go into the offseason and preseason with issues. We locked up our two biggest guys. We did it.
You hear that, Paulie? The Jet pom-poms are back out for
Seriously, what are Jets fans complaining about?
Paulie, I agree with you. And nobody has liked to tweak the Jets more the last 2 years than me. This is good business for them. And I think even better business the way Tiki laid it out those 2 years. I don't understand the issue here. 888-808-1019. Steven West Islip. Steve, what's up, man?
What's up, man? I just think he's super overrated, you know? Like, he thinks that he's way better than he is, and this contract is going to confirm that, and he's just going to come in like a prima donna next year.
How do you
know that? And he had an off year next year, just past year, and who's not going to say he's going to have an off year this year when the Jets don't live up to expectations? It's just he's like a poor man Deion Sanders,
Steve,
man.
Steve,
like,
so what was the alternative, Steve? Steve, you wanted to what? Trade Sauce Gardner? You didn't want him here long term, and then what are you doing at the cornerback position? Honestly, what's the alternative?
There is no alternative. That's why I hate being a Jets fan, because we just...
fair enough, Steve. Fair enough.
That is fair.
Look, if I'm going to come in with the alternative and you admit there is no alternative and you hate being a fan, that's tough to argue. Look, calm down. I'm envious that you get a deal done like that with a corner, and I can't express this enough. Tiki brought up the two-year part of this, paying Garrett Wilson. The beauty of failing at the quarterback position and not having a rookie or a one locked up to a long-term deal and maybe being in the realm to draft a rookie next year is that you can afford to keep talent at price tags like this. That is the way the rookie pay scale works, and the Jets don't even have that rookie quarterback on their roster yet, which makes both of these deals tenable.
Right. It makes it feel like there are still a couple of years before you really have urgency about the staff.
Absolutely. 888-808-1019. Kevin in Denville. Kevin, what's up?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
What's going on,
We're
man?
Good.
Guys, the Jets have young players that are good. When was the last time we had good young studs at premium positions? We've been laying low. It's been a quiet offseason, and now they're back in the news for all the right reasons. I love this. They did a great job. I'm loving Muji. And for those that think that Sauce shouldn't have gotten paid, the guy was arguably the best corner in football for the first 2 years. Last year, agreed, a little up and down. But really, that whole team, you could take it and throw it in the garbage. I mean, you fired your coach after week five, and Rodgers was what he was last year. And so probably,
you broke it up. Lose you, Kevin. Sorry. Look, one more point to add to this. I have to give Tommy on Twitter a little credit on this, too. Not our Tommy. Another Tommy. You're right. The Sauce Gardner deal, 2 years, whatever, but it's a two-year extension on the 2 years he had left.
Right.
So it's actually still a four-year deal.
So it's 2 years. It can't be.
It's a six. He's under contract for six total years now.
So that 2 years of guaranteed is going to be, you know, we have to see the way it's structured, but 2027, 2028, and then he has the deals into 2029, 2030.
So this deal goes to 2030.
Yes.
So this is what confuses me.
Yes.
So
we
he
had
still
this
has his 2025 deal.
Mm-hmm.
He has this franchise tag deal.
Right.
So the fifth-year option.
Correct.
And then this kicks in 2 years from now.
Oh, yes.
And then it's 2 years guaranteed.
So yesterday we had this confusion with the Garrett Wilson deal, and it was off by a year. The what I am reading right now says this deal is going to go till 2030. So that would actually be a five-year deal. Same thing that we witnessed yesterday.
Right.
So it's not. This includes the year they would have paid the franchise tag. So it's actually a three-year deal. Let's walk through this, right?
Right.
He has this last year of a deal. It's a four-year extension. That would be 2026, taking us to 2030.
This is why I always say the salary cap is fungible, because it is such nonsense. It means nothing. It's impossible for even those that understand it to understand it.
Right. Exactly.
So because they picked up his fifth-year option.
Mm-hmm. But now, by picking up the fifth-year option, that's going to be included in the framework of this four-year extension.
Right. So that's part of the deal.
Yes. Exactly. But this is also, this is when we're doing radio in real time and we're getting these details to come out. And you also forget 2030 sounds like it's 10 years away. It's actually
five years away.
We're already in 2025, not 6 years away.
Right.
So either way, Sauce Gardner locked up. So he will finish out this year and then the extension kicks in. So in theory, with that $60 million guaranteed, this is basically three more years guaranteed of Sauce Gardner.
Right.
I still think that's good business. I mean, I do. I know it's different than 2 years like Daniel Jones. I still think it's good business. 888-808-1019. All right. The Sauce Gardner phones have lit up. The Jets have come to terms with their cornerback. Back-to-back deals. The Jets signing their offensive star in Garrett Wilson, their defensive star in Sauce Gardner. More reaction and what this means for the quarterback position at the New York Jets. It is Evan and Tiki here on The Fan reacting to the Sauce Gardner news on this All-Star Game Day here on The Fan.